Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I know someone who is an expert in world missions, and a few years ago I asked him, I want my money to go to the salvation of souls. I don't want to go to some televangelist jet or a Porsche. Is there a good mission group where you can give your money and know it's going overseas to bring lost people to Christ? And I think the first group he mentioned is called the Timothy Initiative. So we're going to talk about how people are coming to Christ around the world today. We've had our friend Gary Schneider on before. We're going to do it again. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Tom.
Gary is with the Timothy Initiative. And so let's get into this. Are people coming to Christ around the world? How is it happening? But before we do, let's watch a video on the need to get this done.
There are over 8 billion souls living on this earth today. Many of whom live their entire lives never truly knowing the way, the truth, and thus never experiencing true life. Every face, every name, made in the image of God, has an eternal future, with heaven or hell as a final destination. More than 3 billion precious souls that Jesus gave his life for today live in spiritual darkness, outside the reach of the gospel. Without this good news, without Jesus, their eternity is sealed. Each day that passes, multitudes pass into eternity, never hearing the name of Jesus, even once. The devastation of one lost soul is crushing. When multiplied by billions, the devastation is overwhelming, beyond words. What will we do in the face of such loss?
In hell, we all deserve hell because we're sinners. The only way to be saved is by what Jesus did on the cross, by faith in Him, and we need to get that message out. So, Gary, your group is called the Timothy Initiative. How does your group bring lost people to Christ? What is a Timothy? Why do you call it that?
We take our ministry from 2 Timothy 2:2. Where Paul, who's the apostle and the teacher, says to his disciple, Timothy, the things you've heard me say in the presence of witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others also. So there's four generations of disciples in that one verse. Mm-hmm. So a Timothy is a learner. He's a disciple. He's in the process of being trained to become a church planter. Now, these are indigenous local people who are farmers, bakers, candlestick makers, who will be trained to lead a church that meets in their own home after their two-year training.
And the reason I like that, it used to be years ago, you'd send a white missionary into Uganda, and it was a lot of money, and it didn't work so well.
Yes.
Now you train the natives to reach their own.
Exactly.
And it's a lot, and so that's the way you do it.
This is a new day for missions.
Uh-huh.
It is not like the we call it legacy missions, where white guys were going over, like myself. I spent 10 years in Madagascar.
Yeah.
But now God's base of operation is those countries where a church has been raised up, but now we're training those local indigenous people to be the ones who lead their network of people to Christ.
Okay.
And start a church.
I want people to hear some stories by video. Now, I'm going to show you my globe, and the first place we're going to go is Mexico, to Chalco, Mexico, right by Mexico City, and I want you to hear of what is happening there to bring lost people to Christ. Go ahead and roll the tape.
My name is Eustacio Reyes Garcia, and I have been a pastor in Chalco, Mexico for several years now. The need for the gospel in Chalco cannot be understated. We have a massive problem with drugs,
Two cartels are competing for control, and young girls are being kidnapped and trafficked. There are very few churches here, and I knew God was calling me to help change that. I knew how to share my faith, but I wanted to know how to truly make disciples that made disciples. I heard from a friend about something called the Timothy Initiative. I was invited to become a Paul, who would raise up Timothy to become disciple maker and church planters throughout Chalco and beyond. One of the first people I thought would make a great disciple maker was a man in my church with a very rough past named Amadeo.
I used to be a very bad man. I would return home from my job as a money collector, drunk and on drugs, and mistreat my wife. My wife attended Eustacio's church, and he heard about the abuse. When he tried to share the gospel with me, I planned to kill him. But after a bad accident, I listened and gave my life to Jesus. Seeing my transformation, Eustacio trained me to share my story and God's story. Now, when I collect money, I pray for people and share Jesus with them. One day, I was making collections in Chalco, and I visited a man named Leo, finding his wife in deep distress.
I explained to Amadeo that Leo was suffering from severe diabetes.
I had completely lost vision in both eyes. I could no longer walk, and my daily headaches were so bad I couldn't do anything. I couldn't work, and my wife had to quit her job to be at home taking care of me. I was utterly depressed and without hope. The next day, Amadeo and Eustacio came by and started sharing with me about the power of God to heal my body. I was filled with hope that God could heal me. That evening in our home, my wife and I made the joint decision to follow Jesus together. Just a few days after we gave our lives to Jesus, we asked Amadeo to start a discovery Bible study in our home. We invited family, friends, and neighbors, and several of them gave their lives to Jesus too. Within just a few weeks, our Bible study had grown into a small church. Because Edith and I were no longer working, we had to find something that would support our family. God, in all His goodness, opened a door for us to start a shop on the main street through our town. Now we share our story and God's story with everyone, and we're a shining light for Jesus in our community. On top of all that, God has restored much of my sight.
So, Gary, you have a lot of missionaries, or Timothys, in Mexico.
We do.
And, you know, that story is kind of, in the New Testament, people would get healed miraculously, and that would lead to conversions. And that happened just there. Does that happen much?
It happens all the time.
It does.
It happens on a daily basis. And I believe God is blessing the Timothy Initiative because we're equipping everyday, ordinary lay people to share the gospel and to plant churches, which is the priesthood of every believer. It adds dignity to what we're called to be as believers.
Yeah.
And that's why God is blessing. We're going to places that haven't heard the gospel, and we're using lay people, local lay people, to do it. And God is honoring His word by signs and wonders.
Wonderful. Well, let's go to two more places. We just did Mexico. Now we're going to... we're going to go to Nigeria. Do you know where that is? Over here is Africa. Nigeria is right here, I think. Right? Right, Gary?
Looks right.
Yeah, Nigeria is right here. And let's see what's happening in World Missions in Nigeria.
In 2014, the West African-based Muslim extremist group Boko Haram raided the town of Chibok, Nigeria, kidnapping 276 schoolgirls from the local government secondary school. The world may have forgotten, but God did not forget Chibok. As the lone survivor of a church massacre in another town, Pastor Alfred knows the realities of living under Boko Haram all too well. In 2022, his denomination asked him to move to Chibok to see what remnants of Christianity could be salvaged. Alfred knew his task, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace to a hurting people.
The first ever church in Chibok is now a mosque. Most people here are Muslim, and because of the atrocities done by Boko Haram over the years, there are very few churches left. When I was sent here, a friend asked me to visit his ministry in a nearby town. He was seeing lots of fruits by partnering with the Timothy Initiative. So I visited him and realized this was how I could help see Chibok revived for God.
Alfred was quick to get started recruiting Timothys to make disciples and plant churches. One of those who said yes to becoming a Timothy was Samuel.
I have been a follower of Jesus for a few years, but I grew up Muslim. So my heart breaks for those who are still lost and hopeless amidst the trauma our people have dealt with. I am no stranger to the problems here. My niece was kidnapped by Boko Haram and is still in captivity.
More than 100 Chibok girls and hundreds of other captives are still being held by Boko Haram.
When Samuel put his training into practice, people responded to Christ immediately. One of the new believers is Luca. Luca showed enthusiasm for his newfound faith and wanted to help share it with Muslims in Chibok. So Samuel started training Luca to make disciples as his Titus.
As Samuel trained me, it became easier and easier to share my faith. Despite the ongoing challenges we face, within just 5 months, I led 10 people to Jesus, and we started to gather as a new church. Because of what Samuel taught me, I was already looking to raise up Tituses of my own.
One of Luca's new believers, Ishaya, wanted to help get the message of Jesus out. So, Luca started training him in the same way he has been trained.
I thank God because now that I know Christ, I am able to forgive the insurgents who kidnapped my 3 cousins. I am motivated to help others find the same freedom.
Within 11 months, Ishaya personally led 22 people to Christ and started a third-generation church. All of Ishaya's disciples have been impacted by Boko Haram in one way or another. Two of those new disciples are Naomi and Martha. Naomi's cousin and Martha's sister are still in captivity. They don't know if they'll ever see their family members again. Yet, they testify that the Lord is good and is transforming Chibok one disciple and one church at a time. Under Pastor Alfred's ministry, his Timothys and their Tituses have planted 11 new churches and seen 5 generations of disciples across Chibok, bringing hope and joy to a people who have experienced more than a decade of hopelessness and despair.
So, I mean, do you remember in 2014 when 276 girls were kidnapped out of a school in Nigeria and the Boko Haram tried to force them to be Muslims, tried to get them married to Muslim men, and they did. So I don't know if we know whatever happened to most of them.
I don't know.
We don't know. But it just, I'm so glad you guys are there in the midst of all that persecution, preaching the gospel. Now that's Nigeria. Is it mostly Christian or Jew or Muslim in Nigeria?
Nigeria is a very conflicted country spiritually. The north is Muslim,
okay,
majority. The south is Christian majority. They're some of the largest churches in the world in Nigeria, in Lagos, Nigeria. You have churches of 50, 60,000 people.
Wow.
But then up in the north, there are places where there's people who've never heard the name of Jesus before. So the Timothy Initiative is very active in Nigeria all over, especially in the north.
Do you see Muslims coming to Christ?
Absolutely, absolutely. The thing that we're seeing most common is Muslims who have dreams about Jesus.
I've heard this.
They're sleeping at night and they wake up and they're maybe walking along the street and they see a showing of the Jesus film, which the Timothy Initiative uses quite a bit in church planting.
Mm-hmm.
And they see Jesus on the film and they say, "That's the guy I saw in my dream." And they'll watch the film and accept Christ after. So it's a phenomena happening in the world today, Muslims coming to Christ through dreams and visions.
Do they normally get persecuted by their families if they convert to Christ?
Very severely. Oh, yeah. There's a very high price to pay, including having mock funerals.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've considered their relative, their son, their daughter, their father dead because they've converted to Christianity.
Ugh. Well, let's go one more place. We've been to Mexico. We've been to Nigeria. Let's go to Tanzania, which is on the other side of Africa, and let's see what's happening there.
His knees should ache, but they don't. He should be retiring, but he's not. His name is Musa. He's 62, and his body and spirit stand strong, for he carries a message that burns brighter than any mountain fire. There is only one long road in and out of the mountains he calls home, the Vidunda Mountains of Tanzania. Each Saturday, Musa begins his journey, 4 hours down the steep slopes of Vidunda, down to where his weekly TTI training awaits. It's a long way down, but an even longer way back. 5 hours of climbing to return home. 9 hours round trip. 9 hours with a spring in his step to be trained to go and tell. In 2022, Musa heard about the Timothy Initiative from a friend and became a Timothy himself, a disciple maker on a mission to plant churches. Through his disciple making training, Musa found the courage to proclaim the gospel. And so he began to walk. He walked to villages all over the sparsely populated mountains, sharing the good news with all who would listen. The Vidunda people turned away from him, clinging to their ancient beliefs, continuing to make sacrifices to spirits and their ancestors. Yet Musa pressed on, for he knew the gospel message was the antidote to their brokenness. One day, in a village far from Musa's home, people started to respond to the gospel. One by one, villagers started to respond to Christ through Musa. Every time Musa made the 8-hour trip, it was worth it to him because more people surrendered their lives to Jesus. Soon, Musa had made 8 new disciples, and today, his efforts have resulted in a thriving church in the village, bringing light to a place that had been held captive by the darkness of ancestral worship for so long.
So, in Tanzania, there's a lot of animists. Mm-hmm. What is animism?
Animism is a belief that the deceased ancestors control the fate of the living. And you have to go through a witch doctor to satisfy the will of the deceased ancestors, usually by giving sacrifices, animal sacrifices, or even monetary sacrifices to the witch doctor in order to placate the will of the deceased ancestors. The thing about Tanzania is that the Timothy Initiative is prospering greatly there. Worldwide, we're planting 103 churches a day.
Wow.
And in Tanzania, we have done a mapping of the entire country of Tanzania down to the village level. There's tens of thousands of villages in Tanzania. And our goal and our intent is to plant a church in every village in the country of Tanzania in the next couple of years. And we're doing that now.
When a few years ago, was Tanzania mostly Christian, Muslim, animist? What would you say?
Years ago, it was predominantly Muslim.
Okay.
But because of the spread of the gospel in Tanzania, it's predominantly Christian now. There's a underbelly of animism. So how many people are truly born again? Maybe 15 to 20%.
Okay.
But they're open to the gospel. Uh-huh. They're receptive like never before. There's a move of God in Tanzania.
Where in the world is the gospel spreading the fastest? And where in the world are there the most blockages?
You'll probably be surprised to hear my answer to where it's growing the fastest.
Yeah.
And that would be in the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Iran?
Iran, yes.
Wow.
There are more people becoming Christians in Iran today than anywhere on earth through an underground church movement. It's a house church movement like TTI, but there are literally millions and millions of Muslim people, primarily younger people, who are fed up with Islam. They say the Ayatollah Khomeini was the greatest evangelist in the history of Iran because he showed the true face of Islam. And the young people said, no, we don't want that. And through the internet and through ministries like the Timothy Initiative, there are thousands of house churches being planted. It's the fastest evangelized country in the world.
Wonderful.
The hardest place in the world, I would say, is probably India, North India.
Oh.
In particular, because of how militant the Hindu government is against Christianity.
Hindu government all over India or just the north?
In the north in particular. South India is more Christian.
Okay.
But in the north, they are burning down churches.
I know.
By the hundreds.
I know. Yeah. North Korea, pretty bad?
Well, very much so.
Always
yes,
bad.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we're going to show the last video in a minute, but what do you think, because you know a lot about missions, what makes a mission group successful and what makes a mission group fail?
You've got to get on God's agenda, you know, as a missions group. And I would say God's agenda, if you look at his word, is bringing the gospel to people who've never heard.
Mm-hmm.
So if your priority is evangelizing what we call unreached people groups, UPGs for short, you're going to have God's blessing on you. He said to Abraham, I will bless you and all nations on earth will be blessed through you. And that's a golden thread that weaves its way throughout the entire Bible,
yeah,
all the way to the Great Commission, to the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. So having
people of every tongue and name,
every
language.
Tongue,
yeah.
Yes, having that focus.
All right.
And I would say using indigenous lay people to accomplish the
yes,
Great Commission is a solution,
okay,
too.
Okay. So what makes missions fail?
I think when you try to do it in your own human strength, when you think, well, it's just because of finances or it's because of our slick strategies or our promotion, when you try to do anything in your own human strength,
yeah,
it will fail. Ultimately, it's got to be totally a work of God through us broken, frail human beings.
Okay, good. Well, we got one last quick video to show about the UPGs, the unreached people groups, and the amazing things God is doing now to reach them. Let's watch the last video, please. We'll be right back. So when it says 200,000 churches, is that various mission groups working together, or is that just the Timothy Initiative?
That's just Timothy Initiative.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, we're planting 103 churches a day.
Wonderful.
In over 50 countries around the world. Yeah. Last year was about 40,000 alone. Because of the way we're structured, we multiply.
This is why I give my money to this group. Mm. Everybody, we're going to put on the screen here the website for the Timothy Initiative. If you are desiring to support them in any way, pray for them, give, whatever, you can go to ttiglobal.org, ttiglobal.org. You can support that way, or you can call them 919-761-5760. But oh, the world is lost. America is lost. Mm-hmm. And we need to get the gospel out. So I love giving to groups like this. And you pray about it. If God nudges you to support them, again, there's the website. There's the phone number. We got about 40 seconds left, Gary. Anything in closing you'd like to say?
There's 140,000 people a day who slip into a Christless eternity, never having heard the gospel. 3.2 billion who've never heard, 140,000 a day in that block of people who go into a Christless eternity. We can plant a church in their people group for $400 a church. That's how much it costs us to train up a Timothy, a church planter, and see a church of 20 to 25 people planted.
Wonderful. So everybody, pray about this. In some way, be involved in world missions. And thanks for coming, Gary.
Thank you.
And everybody, go to our website, pastorstudy.org, if you want to watch this show again. Pray for Gary. Pray for world missions. See you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.